I've always considered myself quite a hardy person. I've successfully completed more than a few marathons and was also an avid cyclist. But over the years, work got the better of me, turning my once very active lifestyle into a more sedentary one. Despite being quite the couch potato, I was confident that I could keep up with the ladies, for the training session did not seem too challenging. I couldn't be more wrong. I agreed to meet the team for a ride last weekend, but after a steep climb up a hill with a foursome, I started panting furiously. The four ladies were still joking with one another when I decided I've had enough. One of the team members is 35-year-old lawyer Anina Bosoff. Originally from South Africa, Anina's no stranger to the great outdoors, having taken part in many kayaking and hiking trips in her home country.
I'm from a developing country, so if you say wild and unorganized and strange and underdeveloped, I go, I'm coming. So the Timor angle really, really sounded good to me, and off-road biking, of course, fabulous. I used to be a mountain biker, brought my mountain bike along to Singapore to find that there are no mountains. So it's been very frustrating for me because Singapore is a difficult place to do off-road biking. There just isn't that much. And Timor to me sounds like there's just so much to see and so much diversity in terms of road surface and everything. So it's just more exciting, I think. As far as we know, there are probably 6 Singaporean teams, which is quite a big show for Singapore. And I know President Ramos Horta is very impressed.
Anina says the team's aware that there may be some risks involved. Apart from being exposed to the harsh elements, there's also the issue of personal safety, given the history behind Timor-Leste's birth as a nation.
I think the important thing is to be brave, go there, and show the world that it's okay. And I think that's the message they're trying to bring across. They think they're ready to receive tourists. They're putting a lot of effort into this organization, and I think someone has to put faith in them. But is it 100% safe? We think so. We're absolutely relying on the organizational effort that they're putting in. They've got a lot of police, they've got a lot of security people there. The logistics is really well organized. But you know, the real danger on this thing is not going to be insurgents, it's going to be us falling off our bikes.
The ladies only started training seriously with the help of Exercise Laboratory, Racer's toolbox, about a month ago. And they've been doing so relentlessly up to 7 days a week for the event. The ladies have also worked hard to secure sponsorships for the race. Their list of sponsors include a local restaurant, Poison Ivy, and Standard Chartered. Another team member, 27-year-old Chang Ting Jun, admits that time isn't exactly on their side. The producer for Channel News Asia says because of this, chances of them clinching the top prize of $15,000 are rather slim. However, she stresses the team is more concerned about completing the race than winning it.
We've set up bikes in my house, actually, and we work out on trainers here. So sometimes we do rides up to 4 or 5 hours. And then other days will be shorter rides, but maybe harder ones for just an hour or two. We vary it as well. Sometimes we go out, we ride on trails, we ride on road. So just familiarizing ourselves with our bike and just making sure that the settings are right, and we're learning about that as well.
The mountain biker says this will be the first time she's taking part in a long-distance cycling event.
We're bringing spare tubes, we're bringing a couple of extra spare chains as well. We've got our tents as well for camping at night, our sleeping bags. So lots of gear, actually, not just the bike. What will happen is that we'll bring all our stuff there and the organizers will take care of our gear, making sure it gets to the next stop. So when we ride, there'll be nothing on us, just our bottles and, you know, our energy gels, and that's it.
Unlike Ting Jin, who regularly cycles out in the open, another team member, 24-year-old university student Alexandra To, usually does so on a stationary bike. That's because she's a spinning instructor at a local gym. Long-distance cycling as a team will be a totally new experience for her, unlike riding on a stationary bike, says Alexandra.
You're indoors and you don't get the wind outside, the headwind, different terrain. It's all pretty much just a flat road. Even if you can play with the resistance, it's still nothing compared to riding outside what you would encounter and how your body would adjust to it. Because, I mean, with the weather, it's probably going to be really hot in Timor, so it's taking some getting used to.
And should the three ladies need to have their sore muscles soothed after a hard day of cycling, they can always turn to their team member, Jasmine Wong, for a good rub down. The 34-year-old sports physiotherapist can also advise them on important issues such as their riding postures and pedaling strokes.
All this is going to be important in terms of reducing injuries and reducing stress and balancing out the forces on your body. So I think that's important, knowing the right stretches to do to make sure their muscles are not too tense and they're nice and flexible and pliable. And I've actually given some advice on conditioning as well, like what to do for our upper back, because we will be holding our biking position for like 5 to 8, 9 hours a day. So that's going to put a lot of stress on our upper back and our base of our neck as well. That would be very important just going to the race, making sure that we're nice and fit for the stresses that we're going to face.
Jasmine was also the one who came up with the idea to join Tour de Timor. She mentioned it to Alexandra before the duo roped in their own like-minded friends to join the Chain Reaction project. The team will be leaving Singapore this Saturday and will be returning on the 1st of September. The ladies say the Tour de Timor will not be the last that we'll be hearing from them. They've pledged to take part in other adventure events in the future to raise money for worthy causes. I'm Shafiq Al-Khatib for 9th Rate Live. Timor-Leste's road to independence was fraught with many obstacles. Asia's youngest nation was occupied by Indonesia for 24 years, during which some 100,000 people were believed to have lost their lives due to fighting, disease and starvation. The bloodshed ended 10 years ago in a United Nations-backed vote to end Indonesia's occupation of the country. But Timor-Leste's troubles are far from over. Its citizens are among the world's poorest, with about 40% of them earning less than a dollar a day. The money the four women raised will be handed over to a Timor-Leste-based charitable organization, Hiam Health. One of the cyclists, 35-year-old lawyer Anina Bosoff, says Hiam Health was formed to help reduce the high infant mortality rate in the poverty-stricken country.
They will be running from November a malnutrition rehabilitation centre for babies. The nutrition story really appeals to us, and malnutrition is a massive problem with their population growth. They have about 8 children per family, so it's very difficult to feed your kids already if you've got 8 children, but then if you've got so few means, it becomes a real, real challenge. And there's a real lack of ignorance too about what to eat, etc.
Anina was told that malnutrition among young children is usually undetected in its early stages.
If you see a little Ethiopian boy with a blown-up belly, that's a very, very extreme case of malnutrition. But by and large, what it does to a child is it basically stunts them, it retards their growth, including their brain growth, and it makes them lethargic. So it's not, you can't walk past a child and say, oh, that one's malnourished. He may not perform well at school, and he may not be as tall as his brother, but you wouldn't know that it's malnutrition. And that's why it's so important to teach people that, you know, your child may seem all right, but if you're not feeding him correctly, he is going to suffer in the long run. So that's what Hiam Health is trying to do. They're trying to show people to grow the food, how to feed the children, even, you know, breastfeeding mothers, how should they be eating in order to prevent this thing that is only seen when it's too late.
Anina and her teammates were touched by the warmness of the Timorese as they cycled through the villages.
They went around and gave everyone a little flag and explained to them that people are visiting you to celebrate your independence with you. So every time you got to a little town or a little village, it was lined with people along the road with flags, our flags, Singapore flags, South Africa flags, Timor-Leste flags, and they were shouting, Viva Timor-Leste. They were so excited and happy to see us. It was wonderful to see how a little village of, I don't know how, maybe a couple hundred people come together, open up their village, and cook food for probably 400 people, if you include all the support teams. The food to me was an absolute eye-opener. The villagers really, really went out of their way to feed us and feed us as best they can. But the truth is they have very little to offer. They provided us every day with rice, lots of rice, and a little bit of vegetable and a little bit of meat. And this meat could be wild boar, goat, you know, whatever they have available. We pretty much ate what they eat.
But the trip was no ride in the park. There were times when the team felt like giving up. Anina says by the fourth day, the saddle of a bicycle was giving her problems, and one of her team members, 24-year-old student Alexandra Toh, was nursing a sore knee. However, they decided to press on as they did not want to disappoint the sponsors, and especially the Timorese, who had put in a lot of faith in the cyclists.
In particular, on the fourth day, we were, I don't know, maybe one third in. We had no water left. We were climbing. We were losing water. And we were supposed to be buying water at stalls along the road. But because we are far at the back that day, everyone had sold their water already. So we literally had to stop, sit down and go, guys, we have no water. Can we actually do this? At which point the ambulance arrived and gave us each a liter and a half of water. So it changed completely from there. But that was a really, really trying moment.
Another team member, 27-year-old Chang Ting-jin, says the cyclists also had to sleep in tents and bathe in creeks as they were usually far away from any signs of civilization.
It was a lot tougher than I expected. We'd wake up before 6 o'clock every day to pack up our tenting gear and get everything on the lorries that would go ahead of us to the next site. And then we'd have our breakfast, we'd get on our bikes and hit the road by 8:30 a.m. And because we were going as a team and riding a little bit slower, we would be on the roads easily between 5 to 8 hours every day. And then when we'd get into the next location, we would have to set up our tents, look for our bags, choose a camping ground to put our tents. But by then, most of the good sites would be gone.
The four ladies also suffered several scrapes and bruises along the way. 34-year-old Jasmine Wong suffered a particularly nasty fall on the second day, which chipped part of her helmet. Ting Jin was riding behind her when the accident took place.
We were going down a hill. It was quite a steep hill and it was very sandy and difficult to get enough of friction and grip. And her back wheel basically spun out and so she slid. And when she fell hard and hit her head. And she had a bruise and a slight cut on her forehead. But she got up even while she was slurring, was saying, okay, let's keep riding. So we waited about, 5-10 minutes and then decided since there was only about a kilometer more, we would just ride it out. And it turned out to be 10 kilometers more of really rough terrain, and that was one, I think, for Jazz, a very trying day for her.
The ladies were extremely relieved when they crossed the finish line on the fifth day, and even though they were not among the winners, they were contented enough just to complete the Tour de Timor.
It was such an amazing experience in so many ways this first time round. So I think for us and the rest of the team, I think we're just looking for new experiences, new challenges, and just to do it once. So we can't compare it and then say that one is better, that one experience was better than the second time that we did it. So for us, it's about seeking out new opportunities, new experiences, and just cherishing, that one time.
I'm Shafiq Al-Khatib for 93 Live.